Where does Utah stand on measures of social progress compared to the rest of the country? What are we doing as a state that we can be proud of? And what are the problems that need our attention now? That was the subject of a June meeting sponsored by Utah Foundation as part of the bipartisan State of the Nation project. You're listening to Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. We'll be hearing from Sean Tigan, President and CEO of Utah Foundation, economist and former legislator Robert Spendlove from Zions Bank, and Laura Summers from the Kem C. Gardner Policy Institute at the University of Utah.
How we're doing in Utah, it turns out, you know, Utah is the highest social capital. We've been at the top. But let's look at Utah real quick. What are some of our unique characteristics that are really positive for Utah? Population growth.
We rank second highest in terms of adults with any mental illness. We rank highest in terms of adults with serious mental illness.
First, here's Sean Tigan.
One of the things that we do well in this State of the States project, where we compare ourselves to other states, is social capital. In fact, we're number one. We're number one in social capital. That is something that the Utah Foundation found last year. We looked at, for this project alone, for this one metric, one factor alone, 34 different factors, put those together into an index, and to understand like how we're doing in terms of the relationships between entities and organizations and people and that we come to rely upon. So how we're doing in Utah, it turns out, you know, Utah is the highest social capital. We've been at the top, depending on how you measure it, for the last 12 years. So we're really excellent there. We're also doing great in terms of kind of these family child issues. So we look at children living with a single parent. We're number one. That doesn't mean we have the most children living with single parents. It means we have the least in the nation from the data that they choose. But this is also, you know, the red dot there. This is also not improving, or the way they measure this is going down. There's not a lot of movement, but there's enough movement to suggest that maybe we're losing ground a little bit in terms of children living with a single parent. We also are really great in terms of income inequality, which means we have low income inequality. That's another metric where we're heading in the, perhaps a little bit stable, but depending on how you look at it, we might be headed in the wrong direction. There's the gray line, but that blue line, it's still been trending up over time, but not too worrisome according to the State of the Nation project at this point.
Robert Spendlove began his remarks with a reference to a report on inflation that had just come out on the day of the meeting and looked at some areas where Utah is doing well and others that are an ongoing cause of concern.
If the number's good, no one cares. If the number's bad, then the world explodes. And right now the world's exploding. And you know what's interesting is the number, the inflation number, was not a surprise, but it still hurts. Right, 4.2% hurts. But let's look at Utah real quick. What are some of our unique characteristics that are really positive for Utah? Population growth. So while the nation is growing about 0.5%, Utah is growing 1%. Now, we're not the fastest in the country, but we're top tier. And it's been one of the areas that has fueled our economy for many years. There is a direct relationship between population growth and employment growth. And you know, when you can have too much population growth, and you see that in some areas where they kind of strain under population growth, but it's better to have population growth than the opposite. And so Utah, it's been a long story of growth for us. When you look at those components of the growth though, you can see one of the unique parts about Utah is not only do we have net in migration, we also have what we call natural increase, our own births and deaths. And while our fertility rate is dropping and is becoming more similar to the U.S., it is one of those areas that we continue to have much higher natural increase than other states. What about employment? Similar story. Where the nation is around just barely positive in employment growth, Utah much stronger at 0.7%. You can also see that relative to other states in the country, we're kind of in the center of a really strong employment growth area. Now, If we look historically, so this is looking at the U.S. versus Utah, that employment growth. What we are seeing, and I'll tell you, there are economists that are getting nervous about this chart for Utah specifically, that we are seeing that growth is slowing. Utah is still higher than the nation, but that relative growth is slowing over time. And if that growth, you know, as it approaches zero, or if it approaches zero, it's going to be an area that's concerning.
But Robert Spindlove says with that population growth and a strong market for jobs comes a scarcity of housing.
Home prices in Utah are not affordable. They've been moving up for years, and now we are one of the most expensive housing markets in the country. That wasn't true 10 years ago. That certainly wasn't true 20 years ago. But we're facing this affordability crisis in Utah, and people are struggling. How can you buy your first home? How can you even rent an apartment in a market that's so much more expensive? Just anecdotally, if you want to find cheap housing, it does exist. It's in West Virginia. So if you want to move to West Virginia, you can get a home for $175,000. But you know, it requires a dramatic change to find lower housing. When we look at it a different way, again, back to great analysis from the Gardner Institute, this is looking at housing prices relative to household income. And if you've got, so affordability is, you know, the upper limit on affordability is about 3-to-1. 20 years ago, we were at about 3-to-1. Where are we now? We're 5-to-1. So it's not as bad as it was a couple years ago, but it's still really bad. Housing is severely unaffordable in Utah right now.
Along with the difficulty of finding housing in Utah, the state is dealing with a long-term challenge in recognizing the mental health concerns of both young people and adults, as evidenced by one of the highest suicide rates in the country. And that's been the subject of Laura Summers' ongoing research at the Kem C. Gardner Institute at the University of Utah.
Utah has an interesting juxtaposition where we rank really well on our physical health measures. We're usually in the top 10, at least the top 5. It depends on the measure you're looking at. A lot of that is related to our young population. We have a lot of children in our state, which keeps our overall measures pretty healthy. But if you look at our mental health rankings, they are not great. Mental Health America is a community-based organization that comes up with a positive score to rank every state on mental health. They're primarily looking at prevalence and access. When I first started getting into mental health research, it was about 2018. It was kind of the first big project that I worked on at the Gardner Institute. And we actually ranked for adults 51st in the nation. So according to Mental Health America, we had the worst mental health for adults in the entire country. I pulled up that same report last night because I was like, surely we've gotten a little bit better. Anyone want to take a guess where we rank today in 2025? 50. You are right. So I was a little surprised. I thought it would be a little higher than that. I've heard we've bounced around a little bit, and the data is lagged, and it's a composite measure, so you do need to sort of understand what's in that. But I was a little surprised that we were still ranking so low. We do rank much better in terms of our youth mental health, so that is a silver lining. But just in terms of mental health overall, we do know that demand exists in our state of Utah. We do have some mental health issues that we need to address. That demand exists across the population lifespan. You can see some rankings here. We do have a high share, or the highest share, of parents who are reporting not dealing well with coping as being parents, or mothers of young children. That's children under age 3 that are not coping well or have poor mental health. That impacts the mental health of those infants and young children. And so then you see that trajectory throughout the course of their life if that's not getting addressed. That second sort of chart shows children ages 3 to 17. We rank in the top 10 both for children in that age group that have anxiety and depression. And then I would say that last bucket, which is really focusing on adults, that's where you sort of see sort of our poorest rankings that may be influencing our lowest ranking in terms of that adult mental health. But we rank Second highest in terms of adults with any mental illness. We rank highest in terms of adults with serious mental illness, and we rank highest in terms of adults with serious thoughts of suicide. So we were forever probably in the top three states in terms of having the highest suicide rates in our country. In 2019, that fell to sixth. And then the latest data, which is 2024, we actually rank 11th. And I know this is an area where our state has put a lot of effort, both in terms of suicide prevention and crisis response, really building out access to those two areas. And hopefully we're starting to see that in the data. Clearly 11th is not great. There's definitely room to go, but seeing those drops over time and seeing us move from, you know, top three to six to 11th, I think sort of speaks to some of the improvements that we're seeing in this area.
After the main presentation at the Utah Progress meeting, the speakers invited members of the audience to ask a few questions.
You know, I've been in Utah for almost 27 years. I've never seen so much disconnect between the numbers and how people are feeling and the reality on the ground. Just for example, the inflation rate, you're describing inflation rate as high threes, low fours, but the inflation rate is probably like 10, 12% at least.
In economics, we're trying to use imperfect measures to try to represent or explain what's happening in the real world. And sometimes we do okay, but usually we don't do very well. And so all the and I'll just tell you, all the data is flawed. So when you've got difficulty in collecting the data, and then using that data, and that's the best data, right? And then interpreting the data correctly, and then making assumptions or forecasts based on that data is really problematic. And I'll tell you, no one does it well.
In addition to the economic issues, the audience wanted to know what was behind the statistics on mental health in Utah.
I hear people say it's because we have stresses from having large families, or, you know, somebody said it's because we live at a high elevation. So do we know why?
That is a great question. I actually told Sean, I was like, if anybody asks that question, I'm not going to be able to answer it. So, I mean, honestly, I think we don't. I mean, there's a lot of ideas. There's some good research around why. I don't think there is one thing that points to it. We definitely heard the elevation. There is some, you know, correlation data that shows higher elevation have higher suicide rates. Definitely, you know, have heard the cultural issue before. I think, you know, in terms of addressing mental health, it was put on maybe the back burner for a long time. I do think our state in the last 10 years or more has made some really great progress in terms of getting people access. So I did say I'd throw it back out to the audience if anybody has any ideas of why, but I don't think there's a good just one answer to that question.
At the end, Utah Foundation's Sean Tigan acknowledged the difficulties faced by the state of Utah, as well as its advantages compared to other states, called for understanding and cooperation.
Beyond all of the political, there's so much nonsense that we hear all over the place out there. Maybe there's something we can do without all that noise and just come together and work together and feel better about life. And that'll help, you know, with some of the hurdles.
You'll find a link to the State of the States report, as well as video under the Events tab on the Utah Foundation website, where you'll also see a series of reports on social capital, housing, and other important issues facing Utah. Utah Foundation is a private, nonprofit research organization with the mission to inform and engage Utahns with illuminating, independent, nonpartisan public policy research. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Bonas.